We're starting here on the top of Nun Bet Amud Aleph, four lines down. We're continuing to discuss what we discussed yesterday with regards to Bayit Sheni, what they did with the division between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. They had an issue with the Amat Traksin, which is this Amah that was the wall in Bayit Rishon that stood between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Over here in Bayit Sheni, they didn't know what to do with this Amat Traksin. So Amar Rabbi Natan, Amat Traksin lo echriya bo chachamim ikel lifnim ikel lechutz. They didn't have a decision about whether it belonged to Kilifnim, like the Kodesh HaKodeshim, or Kilichutz, or belonged to the Kodesh. So now, in terms of what Traksin means, Rashi over here says, Lashon Pnim V'chutz. It's the Greek for Trak and Sin, I mean inside and outside, that the indecision about the Traksin was that it was an inside-outside. It was a piece of the, between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodeshim, that didn't know which way to push it, whether towards the Kodesh or whether to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Tosvot, on the other hand, brings another pshat, which is trok, means to hide, and sin means Sinai, to hide that which was from Sinai, which means to hide the luchot. So that's where the derivation of this troksin comes from. In terms of the issue we discussed yesterday, which is that because of the height of the Heichal and Bayit Sheni, which was 40 amot high, therefore they had a problem in terms of building the wall there. Because the Gemara in Bava Batra discusses the issue and says that because of Gzeret HaKatuv is that either you have a parochet or you have a wall. You have to have one or the other. You can't have both. If you make a decision to make a wall, it's got to cover the entire area. If you have a decision to have a parochet, it's got to cover that entire area. You have to have one or the other. You can't have both. Now, even though in Bayit Rishon, the truth is that there was a wall separating between them and a doorway. The doorway had doors. In addition to the doors, there was a parochet on the doors. The Tzlach over here asks about the fact that there was a parochet in Bayit Rishon. So then they knew where the division was along the Amah, because they knew where the parochet was. This Fatimah says something interesting, is that the parochet in Bayit Rishon was only there that's niut. You didn't need it there, because the doorway is considered if it's not open space. It's a partition by definition. The curtain was there just to keep a tzniut between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim. So anybody went into the Kodesh wouldn't be looking into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So therefore, it's not determinant in terms of whether it's on the Kodesh side or the Kodesh HaKodeshim side. We come to Bayit Sheni, now we have a much higher Heichal, and they can't build a wall with that type of foundation. It's interesting here, the Gra explains. Also, the Gemara in Bava Batra says, if you want to build a house like a Heichal, take half of the length, half of the width, and that's the proper height of the house. So if you take half the length, half the width, add those together, that's the proper height. So in Bayit Rishon, Kodesh HaKodeshim was 20 by 20 amot. So you take 20 by 20 amot, half of 20 is 10, half of 20 is 10, is 20 amot high, which was the height of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Truth is that the Kodesh was 30 amot high, but the Kodesh HaKodeshim was 20 amot high in Bayit Rishon. We're going to see that in a second. So that's how they got to the height. In Bayit Sheni, the Gra claims that since the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim were not divided, then you have to look at the whole stretch of space. The whole stretch of space is 60 amot. It's 40 amot for the Kodesh, 20 amot for the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So you take 40 and 20 together, that's 60 in length, and you still have the 20 in width. Half of 60 is 30, half of 20 is 10, that gets you the 40 amot height. So that's why he says in Bayit Sheni was 40 amot high, and in Bayit Rishon was only 20 amot high. A lot of the Achronim jump on the ground and say that's circular reasoning. The reason he says that in Bayit Sheni, they counted both the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim was because there was no wall between them. But the reason there was no wall between them is because of the height that they had made the Heichal. So it's a circular reason, which came first, the chicken or the egg here. Was it the problem that they didn't have a wall and that's why they had to join it together, or they didn't put a wall in because it was too high? So it's a little bit of circular reasoning in that way, but that's how the Gra figures out how they got to the height in Bayit Sheni, meaning in the proper proportions to what they did in Bayit Rishon. But because of that height, they didn't have a wall there on the Amat Traksin. Matkivla Ravina, my time. What's the reason they had this problem? Because the pasuk says, "Vabayit asher bana melech Shlomo laHashem." The bayit referring to the heichal, 60 in length, 20 amot in width, u'shloshim amakomoto, and it's 30 amot high. That's what I mentioned before, that the kodesh was 30 amot high. Uchtiv. And now when it subdivides the bayit, the heichal, it tells you that varbaim ba'ama haya bayit hua heichal lifnai. So this was the Heichal that was in front. The Heichal, or the Bayit, which is the Kodesh, was 40 amot in length. Uchtiv, lifnei ha-dvir, 20 ama. In front of the dvir is 20 amot. Orech, ve-20 ama rochav, 20 amot in width, ve-20 ama komato, and 20 amot high. So that's what I told you before. Kodesh HaKodeshim is 20 amot high. The Kodesh is 30 amot high. But the length of the Kodesh is 40 amot. The length of the Kodesh HaKodeshim is 20 amot. The sum or the total of that is 60. And before, it's a Oh, so that's what the Gemara is suggesting now, that there was no one amah in the middle, because the total length of the house of the Heichal is 60 amot. When it's subdivided, it divides up into 40 and 20. Makes it sound like the sum total of that space is 60 amot. Velo yadina na matraksin, imihani asrim, imihani arbaim. And the safek here is, does the amah belong to the 40 or does it belong to the 20? That's what he's suggesting now. Is that what the issue is? Mar says, "La dilma lo mahani esrim, lo mahani arba'im." Like you said, Fred, maybe it doesn't belong to the 40 or the 20. It's independent, and there's really 61 amot here, not 60 amot. V'cholulok hachashiv, potalim alok hachashiv. Maybe they are only measuring the empty space, meaning that usable space in there, not the footprint, which includes the walls. It's what they call net, not gross measurement of the space. They're taking the space that is not covered by walls, floor space that is open, and not the footprint that goes to 61 amot. Maybe that's the case. Teda, that you should know is true. Because whenever Chazal measure the measurements of the Eichal, they count the amatraksin separate from those 60 amot. So you see that it has the same status as the wall, which was it's not in the count of the division of the space. That means in Bayit Rishon, there were 20 amot in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, one amah of the wall, and then 40 amot of the Kodesh. Together, they added up to 60 amot, but it's 61 amot in length because the one amah is of a wall. Man, that doesn't include the back wall and the front wall, which we're going to see now. That's nine. We have a Mishnah from Midot. We know that the Mishnayot and Midot are from Bayit Sheni, but still, when it enumerates it in Bayit Sheni, you see here, first of all, Heichal Me'ah Al-Me'ah Berom Me'ah. The Echal itself in Bayit Sheni is 100 by 100 by 100. Now 100 is the length of it. Its width is a whole 100 only in the front by the Ulam. By the Ulam, there it extends out. It has front that wings out. In the front, they have an extra 15 amot on each side, shaped like a T. Yeah, exactly. All the pictures you're very familiar with from the Echal. So the front end, that's where it's 100 amot wide. The remainder, the back end, is not 100 amot wide. It's 100 amot tall. That not only includes the ceiling. We know that within the Kodesh HaKodesh Kodeshim, there's 40 amot. There, on top of that, there's another layer. There's an aliyah that adds on the additional space. It gets it up to 100 amot. On the sides and the walls, we're going to see now, they have these ta'im. They have these rooms that are there, and there were three levels of rooms. And the Mishnayot and Midot go through the exact how they got these measurements and how they got up to 100. But it's not inside the Kodesh HaKodesh Kodeshim. There is a ceiling at the 40 amot level. So now, the Mishnah describes here how we get that 100 amot when we're talking about the length. When it comes to the length, it says, Kota Ulam Chamesh, the wall of the Ulam. Now, we're here going from east to west through the Heichal. So the wall, the front wall, is 5 amot thick. Va Ulam, the Ulam itself is 11 amot, is 11 amot of space, empty space. And then, Kota Heichal Shesh. Then the next wall between the Ulam and the Eichal is 6 amot thick. Ve'arko, then the length of the Kodesh is 40 amah, that's 40 amot. Ve'amah traksin, and then the amah of the traksin. And then ve'chaf amah beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, 20 amot of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So now what you have so far is 5 amot and 6 amot of the walls of the Ulam, plus the 11 in the middle, 22. So then you have 22 plus the 60 of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's 82, plus the one amah traksin, we're up to 83. Then koto ha'echal, the back wall of the ha'echal is 6, that gets you up to 89. Vata, and then I told you there were rooms inside of the walls, the ta itself there is 6 amot, so now we're up to 95. But koto la'ta, the back wall of the ha'echal is 5 amot, so that gets you up to 100 amot, that gives you the length. So now what you see here is, ela, kedushatei ikalifnim ikalachutz. The question here is not about whether it was part of the Kodesh, or part of the Kodesh HaKodeshim in the 60 amot. It's a question outside of the 60 amot. That one amah, does it belong to the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKodeshim? Meaning, is the Kodesh 41 amot, or is the Kodesh HaKodeshim 21 amot? But it's separated from that space of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because we see here that when it enumerates the space in Bayit Sheni, it takes the amah traksin separately from the 20 and the 40 amot. And therefore, when the psukim in Milachim describe the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, they're describing the net space that's there, the empty space, the halal, not the walls. And the Amatraksin stands independent of that space, and therefore there's really 61 amot of space stretched between the beginning of the Kodesh and the end of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, one amah taken up by the Amatraksin. But the question now is, Ikilifnim Ilikahutz. Behind Udamai Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says, Bai Yosef Ish Hutzal. He asked this, or posed this question. This is another pasuk in the same parak. It's all from Perek Vav in Malachim Aleph, where there's a description of the Mikdash, mostly there, of the Heichal. So over there it says, Udvir. The Dvir over here, they're saying is, the Dvir is the separating space. The Dvir is the Amak Troksin. B'toch ha-bayit mi-pnima, hechin li-teit sham et aron brit Hashem. I just read you the pasuk straight through. In the Navi, if you go look in the Navi, it says, Udvir b'toch ha-bayit mi-pnima hechin. There's an etnachto there in the pasuk, which means that's a stop. Then the pasuk continues, li-teit sham et aron brit Hashem. To place their own Brit Hashem there. Ibailuhu. Heichi kamar kra. How do you read this pasuk? Udvir betoch habayit mipnima hichin litain sham. Odilma achi kamar. Udvir betoch habayit mipnima. That the dvir itself was toch habayit pnima. What is it modifying over here? The mipnima, is it modifying the bayit or the dvir? Do you read it? Udvir asa betoch habayit. That he made the dvir inside of the bayit. Umipnima, the oto dvir, meaning inside of the truxin, hechin, that he prepared the tain sham et aron Hashem. That's where he placed the aron Hashem. So is the pnima over here defining after the amat truxin, that's where they put the aron Hashem? Or do we say that the dvir asa betoch habayit pnima, that he made the dvir, the amat truxin is beyond the bayit, it's already in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So is the pnima defining where the dvir is? Or is the pnima defining where the aron is? Do you say that the pnima is modifying the dvir, and it's modifying the dvir, that means the dvir is beyond the bayit, beyond the Kodesh, and inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim? Or is the pnima defining where the aron is, and therefore the dvir is b'toch habayit, the dvir is there, part of the Kodesh, and pnima, inside of that, you have the aron brit Hashem. So that's the question of where this pnima fits. What is it modifying? Is it modifying the dvir, that the dvir is inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, or is it modifying the bayit and the dvir together, meaning that the dvir and the bayit are here, and then inside of that, we have the aron brit Hashem? Is it defining the Dvir was Pnima? I mean, the Dvir was in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that separation. Or, beyond the Dvir is where you have the next space, which is the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's the question here. The Bayit being the Kodesh, and the Dvir being the Amat Shoksin. So is the Amat Shoksin beyond the Bayit, beyond the Kodesh? Or is it telling you that beyond the Dvir itself is where it is? And so because of that, I don't know where the Dvir is. Now, of course, we have an Etnacht on the Pasuk now, and we're going to have this. We're about to have a number of Psukim like this, where there is, according to the trup that we have in the Psukim, we know how to divide the Pasuk. So both the Rosh and the Ritva say that this question was all prior to the Zman of Ezra, or prior to the time that they put in trup. Once you put in trup, you give the grammatical breakdown of the Pasuk there. There's no longer a question anymore. The question is resolved. Until you have that division, then you have this question. When you read the Torah, you read the Navi without any punctuation in it, then you have a question about where to punctuate it. It's something that you can't resolve. But once you have it in there, then we do know where it stops, and it stops at the word Heichin. So that gives you the context or the punctuation, which would tell you what or how to read it. So that's again, udvir b'toch habayit mipnima Heichin litain sham. So that was mean that it's beyond the dvir. Oh, dilma hachikamar, udvir b'toch habayit mipnima. That the dvir itself is beyond the bayit, that is inside. So that's the way that we have it in our pasuk broken down, is that the dvir is beyond the kodesh. Where the first way you read it, it means that the dvir and the bayit, the aron is found within inside of that, beyond that. It means that they are still kodesh. Is there really a safek? Va'atanya Isi ben Yehuda omer. Isi ben Yehuda says, chamesh mikraot v'torah in lemechreya. There are 5 psukim in the Torah which we do not know how to read. What I just said before applies here as well. Today we have trup in the psukim. We have a breakdown in the psukim, and therefore these questions seem strange because we know how to read the pasuk, we know how to divide it. That's what some of the Rishonim say. Others say that, like the Magen Avraham, paskens about certain things that we divide up, that we're not pekiyim. In the end, we know that these psukim don't have echreya. And since they don't have echreya, we took a guess, or we made a determination. But that means that we can't rely on that and say, if we have a certain question, we can't rely on that psak. So you're right, that there is a certain amount of safek with regards to that punctuation, with regards to these psukim. Many of the Rishonim take the approach that it was resolved once you put in the drop. Others say that it's still a problem today. We made a decision about, we got to make some decision. We took an approach, but that doesn't mean that it's definitive. It could be that we should read it the other way. So now, the Gemara brings down, what are they? Se'et, Meshukadim, Machar, Arur, Vekam. Gives you the words. These are 5 places in the Torah, and we're going to go through them. Rashi breaks them out. Tosafot asks just a basic question, which is that they're not in order of how they're found in the Torah, which is a little strange. Tosafot discusses about this whole issue, what the order is. But here, Rashi explains to us, Se'et, is based on the pasuk in Breshit, which is Halo im teitiv se'et v'im lo teitiv lepetach hatat rovetz ve'elav teshukato v'tatim shel bo. This is Hashem speaking to Cain after his mincha was not accepted, after his korban was not accepted. He says to him, listen, Halo im teitiv se'et. That's where we have our punctuation over there in our trup. There's a comma there. It's not an etznachta, but it is a zakef katan there, which makes it as if there's a stop. And then it says, bimloteitiv, the petachadat rovets. And if you don't, so there'd be, imteitiv, if it's good, seit, then you'll be forgiven. Bimloteitiv, if you don't make the site to do good, then the petachadat rovets, you're heading to the kever. That's the way we would read the pasuk. But it's not clear that which side the seit belongs to. So that's what Rashi points out. Or, seit imloteitiv. Hello, imteitiv. If you want to be good, that's fine. Then se'et, the lashon nesiot avono, you're going to carry the burden imloteitiv if you don't. So the word se'et can either mean slicha, forgiveness, or can mean to carry the burden. If you read it as hello imteitiv se'et, that means if you do good, you will be forgiven. And that's where we have it punctuated in our pasuk. But you could read it hello imteitiv. If you want, you can do good. Se'et imloteitiv. If you decide that you're not going to be good, then you're going to have to carry the burden of not being good. And that's what the se'et means. So that's what ein lo hechreya. The next one is meshugadim, which we're going to have soon. We're going to read this in the parshat Shuma coming up. This is with regards to the menorah. By the menorah, it says, o menorah arba'a givim. We have an etnachta there in the pasuk. So our stops there. Meshugadim kaptoreha ufirachel. So now you have the kaptorim are the circles, the prachim are the flowers, and then meshugadim means that they are inscribed or they have some sort of design on them. So here, now this meshugadim, which side of the pasuk does it belong to? It could be that arba gviim meshugadim, that there are four gviim, those cups are meshugadim. They have the decorated or design on them. And then kaftoreu ferachel, you have the kaftorim, the balls, and the prachim, and you have the flowers. Or you could read it umenorah arba gviim, which is the way that our pasuk has it. There are these four cups, and then mishukadim kaftoreu ferachel, that the kaftorim, the balls, and the flowers are decorated a mishukadim. So it's not clear which side the mishukadim goes. This happens to be a pasuk where the reading of it either way makes a lot of sense. With the imteitiv seit, it's very hard because there's a vav in viim lo teitiv, which makes it sound like there was a break over there. That vav makes it make less sense that you would break up the se'et in that way. Over here, the meshukadim really could be read in either direction. Again, we have an etnachta before the meshukadim, and it's read with the second half of the pasuk. But there, you have a safek. The next one is machar. Machar is from Parsha B'Shalach, which we'll also get to next week. When Moshe calls Yoshua to go out and wage war against Amalek, it says, Vayom Moshe el Yoshua, b'char lanu anashim, B'tzei hilachem ba'amalek. We have an etnachta there in the pasuk. Machar anochi nitzav al rosh hagivah umatei elukim b'yadi. Tomorrow I'll be standing on the mountain of God, and I'll have the staff in my hand. So the question here is with regards to the machar. The way we have it is, Moshe Yeshua, b'char lanu anashim, b'tzei hilachem ba'amalek. Stop. Machar anochi, tomorrow I will be. But you could have read it, b'char lanu anashim, b'tzei hilachem ba'amalek machar. Go out and battle machar. Anochi nitzav, I'm going to be up on the mountain. So it's not clear which side the machar goes to. The question is, if it's say hilachem b'amalek, is that now, immediately, or go tomorrow to fight Amalek? So it makes a difference. Moshe says he'll be up on the har, but he says maybe go to fight Amalek today and I'll be on the har tomorrow. That means you're battling now and I'll be there tomorrow on the har. Or does it mean go wage battle tomorrow and then I'll be up on the mountain? So the machar, is it modifying when the battle should start or when Moshe is going to be up on the har? So there again, we have it determined that machar is, I will be on the mountain machar, because it's after the etnachta on the pasuk. The next one is arur that we passed, that was in the Birkat Yaakov to his sons. It says over there, with regards to Shimon and Levi, it says, Besodam al tovo nafshi, b'galam al techad kibudi, ki ba'apam harguish, ubirtsunam ikrushor. In their anger, they killed, ubirtsunam ikrushor, and in their will, they uprooted the shore. Then, arur apam ki az, the way we have it, these are two separate psukim. The pasuk stops at Ritzoni Kram Shor, that's the end of the pasuk. The next pasuk begins, Arura Pam, that their anger should be cursed. Now the Gemara over here, the way Rashi reads it is, that's the safek, whether the pasuk was divided there. Either you could read, Ubritzonam Ikru Shor Arur, is Arur modifying the shore? That in their will, Ikru Shor Arur, they uprooted the shore that was cursed. Who's the shore that is cursed? That's Canaan. That means Shechem. That they uprooted, they killed the people of Shechem, they killed Shechem ben Hamor. So that could be what it's speaking about, that the Arur is modifying the Ikrushor. Or it could be Birtsonam Ikrushor, and then Arur Apam, the cursed be their anger. So which is the cursed going on? Is the cursed going on their anger, or is the cursed going on the ones that they uprooted? We have the division again, the Pasuk. Our stops over Tsunami Grushor, period, because it's a new Pasuk, and then Arur Apam. That's the way we've been in our Torah, but without Nikudo, without punctuation there, you could read it over Tsunami Grushor Arur, and then Apam Ki Azru Tam Ki Kashata, that gives the explanation for the second half of the Pasuk, which is Achakim B'Yakov V'Fitzim B'Yisrael. The reason they're getting split up is because of their anger. Or you can read the Arur about the Apam. Arur Apam Piaz Veratam Kikashita. Cursed be their anger. Then, separate statement, Achokei, Beyakov, Afitzem, Beisrael. I'll divide them up. It's not clear where the Arur is modifying in these two psukim. The last one is Vikam. Kam is in Sefer Dvarim. It says, late in Sefer Dvarim, Hashem gives Moshe the good news, which is that after you die, Bnei Yisrael are not going to follow the Torah. Which is, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hincha Shuchevim Abotecha, you're going to pass away. We over there have an etnachta in the pasuk. Then we have v'kam amazev zana acharei Elohei nechar aretz. This nation's going to go out and go after the gods of the land. Asher hu bashama b'kirbov azvani v'eferet b'ti asher karati ito. They're going to go and worship avodah zarah. The way we have the pasuk divided is chincha shochei b'malotecha. You're going to die, and then v'kam ha'am hazev v'zana. That this nation's going to go off the derech. The way that you could have read this is v'hinei shochei b'malotecha v'kam. That you are going to die. And eventually, you're going to get up again. Vikam. There will be a time when you return. Ha-mazeh, v'zana acharei. This nation's going to go after Avodah Zarah. So it's the kam. Yeah, the vav here makes it very difficult because of the amazeh v'zana makes it sound like the kam is part of there. Because otherwise, ha-mazeh v'zana, it should just say ha-mazeh zana or yizneh, meaning that it doesn't make so much sense. Does the kam go on Moshe's death? Or the Kaam has to do with what Bnei Yisrael are going to do. Again, ours is divided that Moshe is going to die, and the Kaam has to do with what Bnei Yisrael are going to do afterwards. But maybe this is a hint to Tichiyat HaMetim. Okay, now why is this relevant? Why are we bringing this up? These are five Sukkim Shein L'Mechreya. The question of Atanya. We have a Braita from Sachim. We saw this from Sachim, which is, Hu Yosef Ishu Tzal? Hu Yosef Abavli? Hu Isi Ben Yehuda? Hu Isi Ben Gurayeh? Hu Isi Ben Gamliel? Hu Isi Ben Mehalel? Umash Shmo, what's his real name? Isi Ben Akiva. Shmo, that's his real name. So whether this means that this is all one person, or Yosef Ishutzal and Yosef Abavli are all one person. And then Isi ben Yehuda, Isi ben Gurayeh, and Isi ben Gamliel, and Isi ben Mehalel are all one person. The question was posed before with regards to the Amatraksin. The question was by Yosef Ishutzal. Yosef Ishutzal was the one who posed the question. The one who says that there are five sukkim that ain lahem achreya is Isi ben Yehuda. So Isi ben Yehuda says there are only five sukkim that don't have this problem. And yet over here we have Yosef Ishutzal posing this question. Now you have to read it. That bright as being everybody's one. They're according to this Gemara. And then I have Yosef Ishutzal mentioned and Isi Ben Yehuda mentioned. They're all the same person. They're the same person. Then why is he saying, I don't understand the Pasukim Elachim? And then afterwards he says, I only have five Pasukim. I don't know how to read. Well, there's a sixth Pasuk he doesn't know how to read. What happened to that sixth Pasuk? Gemara says, Bido Raita Leka Beniviika. Wait a minute. The five Shein Lamechrei is only in the Torah. In five psukim in the Torah, we don't know how to read. That doesn't mean that in the Nevi'im, we know all the psukim. In Nevi'ah, there's more. Where it says, Ubduraita Leka. What, in the Torah, there's no other psukim like this? Don't we have the pasuk that's coming up in Parshat Mishpatim, which is, Moshe says, Vayishlach et narei b'nei Yisrael vayilu alot. He sends the youngsters of b'nei Yisrael. Those are the Bechorim at the time who are the Kohanim. So now, the Yishlach et narei b'nei Yisrael vayilu alot. We have an etnachta there and the pasuk stops. Then, Vayizbechu zvachim shlomim l'ashem parim. But then they brought on shlamim that were parim on the mizbeach. So now the question is, those olot, vayilu olot, are they being modified by the parim or not? Because it says, vayishchu et narei b'nei Yisrael vayilu olot, we have, again, and it's nachta, so we stop. And then we say, vayishchu zvachim shlamim l'ashem parim. So parim is only modifying the zvachim, the shlamim. But you could have read it, vayishchu et narei b'nei Yisrael vayilu olot, vayishchu zvachim shlamim l'ashem parim. They brought both olot and shlamim that came from the parim. So is the Parim modifying both the Olot and the Shlamim, or is it only modifying the Shlamim? We don't know. The Bairuf is, Vayishchu et narei b'nei Yisrael vayilu olot kvasim. The Olot were kvasim. Kvasim is not in the Pasuk, but we're assuming they were kvasim. Vayishchu zvachim shlamim parim. Because it tells you by the Shlamim that they were parim, your alternative by the Olot is that they are kvasim. Odilma, idi v'idi parim. Or is Parim modifying both the Olot and the Shlamim? So the Rav Chisda misfegele. Rav Chisda had an issue with it. L'isi ben Yehuda pshitele. Shimon Yehuda knew how to read the Pasuk. He knew that it was Olot, and then Shlamim, I guess the way that we read it, versus Rav Chisda, who didn't know how to read that pasuk, did not know how to subdivide the pasuk. All right, so that's the end of this little piece. Back to our Mishnah in describing the entrance of the Kohen Gadol into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Hachitzona, according to the Chachamim, that there are two parochot there. The outer one, Aita Prupa Min HaDarom, was pinned open on the southern side. We said that's to the left of where he enters. That's why he walks between the Mizbech HaZahav and the Menorah. And he walks in on the left side. It's pinned open because it's so heavy and so big. There's no way that the Kohen Gadol is going to move this when he gets there. Number two is, we don't worry about anybody seeing in because there's two layers of curtains. This one's open on the left side. Upnimit min hatzafon. The inner curtain is open on the northern side or the right side. So mehalech b'neim. So what he has to do is he enters on the left side and then he has to walk between them. The amah itself between them. He walks between them. Achimagia letzafon. Till he reaches the northern side, always the north. Higia letzafon. When he reaches the northern side, ofech panav ledarom. He turns back. He makes a left turn, makes a U-turn basically around the curtain. And then malech lismolo. With his left hand going along the curtain, ima parochet along with the parochet shumagia la'aron, until he reaches the aron. He gives the aron, once he reaches the aron, notain et ha-machta ben shnei abadim. He puts the machta down between the two poles of the aron. Tzibar et ha-ketoret al-gabi al-chalim, he piles the ketoret on the poles. Benit malei ha-bayit kulo ashan, and the entire Kodesh HaKodeshim fills up with smoke, with the incense of the ketoret. Yatsa, uvalo derech beit knisato. He exits the way he came in. The Gemara tells us, we know that he walks out backwards. Backs out and not turn around, but rather he backs out, but he backs out the same way he did, which means he goes from middle back to the northern side of the paroche where the opening is, and then he makes a right U-turn, comes back through the amatroxin and back out again. Umit palel tefilah ktsara bebayit tachitzon. Then he davens a small tefilah in the outer area in the Kodesh. He did not go on for a long time with his tefillah, shlo lavit et Yisrael, not to cause any consternation or fear about what happened to the Kohen Gadol. So here we have one of the pieces of the puzzle which goes back to your childhood memories about what happened in the Beit HaMikdash. Which over here is lo lavit Yisrael means that there were people who were dying. The Rambam writes over here, the Bartanur brings it, in the Rambam that there were Kohanim Gadolim that didn't make it out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that there was a problem that Kohanim Gadolim went in there and they died and they didn't make it out. Rashi earlier in the Masechta talks about the fact that those Kohanim that were appointed in Bayit Sheni were Rishaim and therefore they died because they were Rishaim, these Kohanim Gadolim. This Rashi is found on Chet Amud Bet. Says, "Mitoch shenotim mamon lekuna, mitoch shekohanim Bayit Sheni ayomdim aydei mamon, shenim ala kuna gdola lemachei Beit Chashmonai." They were evil. And they didn't live out their year. And then they used to replace them. Now Rashi doesn't say why they died within their year. Doesn't say they died in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Rashi's source is in the Sifrei that their lives were shortened. We had in the first Mishnah, the Masechta, that the Kohanim Gadolim turned over at a heavy pace. The reason that's given there in the Mishnah, in the beginning of the Masechta, is because they were appointed by the king. They were political appointments, they were political officials, and therefore the changeover was because the king changed them over. But you all remember from your childhood the reason that they got changed over was because they all died in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Then it's not mentioned in the Bavli anywhere. It just doesn't exist in the Bavli. We have pieces of the puzzle, and it looks like the Rishonim connected the dots, along with a Sifrei. They put together a picture like this. Which is, first of all, we have this Mishnah here that says that he didn't stay a long time in the Kodesh because then they'd be fearful that he died. The fact that they're afraid he's died indicates that there were people who were dying in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's number one. So that's number one. Number two is you have the Rashi here who indicates that the Kohanim Gedolim in Bayit Sheni were Rishaim. He adds in this additional line that they were Rishaim, not just political appointments. And then we have Sifrei says that because in Bayit Sheni they were Rishaim, Lohi Rikhu Yemehem. Their days weren't elongated. Now you could read that as being not elongated means that they had short terms. Or it could mean that they had shortened lives. But it just doesn't necessarily mean that they died in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. What you have here are the Rishonim people putting those together and saying, oh, they were Rishonim in Bayit Sheni. Here it says if they stayed too long, they died in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So we know people are dying in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Plus, we have this Sifrei that says that they had shorter lives. So if I put that together, shorter lives, Rishonim, and they're not supposed to stay too long, so I put that together, I get, oh, they're dying inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's the way that it comes together to based on your childhood memories of this. But the truth is that if you look in the Tosefta, and you have to get the right girsa in the Tosefta says that the king appointed the Kohen Gadol, he also dismissed the Kohen Gadol. The king has the right to appoint them, put them in, take them out, And that's exactly what was happening. They weren't dying in the Gush Gadashim. They were being thrown out by the king because he put in his next guy. If you look in Josephus, that's exactly what happens. The Kohen Gadol was replaced. Sometimes they died, so he was replaced. Sometimes, we saw this before, they go on a mission to Rome and they don't come back, so then he's replaced. Or other times, the king wanted to replace the Kohen Gadol. He decided it was time. But the king made those decisions. It has nothing to do with them dying in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Part of that has to do with the fact that the only reason that someone would die in the Kodesh HaKodeshim is because the Shekhinah is present there. And we know already from the Gemara earlier that the Shekhinah wasn't present necessarily in Bayit Sheni. At least after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, it doesn't seem to be that the Shekhinah is present. We had that one story in the first parak with the Kohen Gadol Stuki who went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim and was all excited about it. And then they said they either found him in the garbage dump afterwards or they found him dead with the footprint of a calf on his head because he was hit by a malach. So that already would indicate that there's something still there. The Shekhinah, there's still a presence of the Shekhinah that is something that matters in terms of going into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. But in general, we would assume that late in Bayit Sheni that the Shekhinah is not present and then the likelihood of the Kohen Gadol dying from going into the Kodesh HaKodeshim would be very low because the Shekhinah is not present. The whole problem is the presence of the Shekhinah. But just know that this Mishnah is an integral part of that puzzle of saying that Kohanim were problematic. Again, there's this quantum leap. Rashi's source is in the Sifrei that their lives were shortened. But if you put it together with this Mishnah, then you get this picture that they were dying in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Again, from Josephus, it does not sound like that at all. It doesn't sound like anybody died in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. But Maya Skinan, our Mishnah is very difficult. Our Mishnah talks about curtains and then talks about the Aron. We know that the Aron is only present in Mikdash Rishon, not in Mikdash Sheni. We also know that in Mikdash Rishon there's a wall and not a parochet. So our Mishnah has a mix between a parochet and an Aron. The two don't go together. So that's what Gemara says. Ilam Mikdash Rishon, if not Mikdash Rishon, miyavi parochet. There's no parochet there. There's a wall. Elabim Mikdash Sheni. We're talking about Mikdash Sheni. Miyaya Aron. There was no Aron. Miyava Aron. There was no Aron in Bayit Sheni. Vatanya. Mishin Nignaz Aron. Nignaz Zayimot. Tzinzenet Aman. Mitzlochid Shemen Amishka. Maklosha Aron. Ushkedea Uprachaha. Vargaz Shigrup. Plishtim Daron Elohe Yisrael. So you have these items that were with the Aron. And they were all put into Geniza along with the Aron. So when the Aron went into Geniza, the Tzinzenet Aman, which is in Pashat Bishalach, it says when they got the man that Aron takes a piece of mind and puts it into a pitcher and then hides it and puts it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's there with the Aron. So Chid Shemen HaMishcha, which we also dealt with, which is that the Shemen HaMishcha LeDoro Teichem, that Zeh, that 12 lug were enough for all your Dorot, that was kept with the Aron as well. Makloshel Aron is from Pashat Korach, the staff of Aron that has Shkedeh Brachah, the almonds and the flowers where it blossomed inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's there. V'argash Yishagru Plishtim, and the Plishtim capture in the time of Eli, they capture the Aron. It's causing all these problems for them. They send it back with a gift. That gift that they sent it back with, that was also there with the Aron. They're all together with the Aron, and they are put into Geniza along with the Aron. Shenamar, because it says, Ukleya Zahav, Pasher Hishivutam, Lo Asham, Tasimu Bargaz Mitzido, Bishalachtam Oto Balach. So the gift that the Plishtim say, they're going to send back as an Asham, as a Kapara, because the Aron's killing amongst them, and they want to get rid of it. So as a kapara, they send this gift as an asham, they put it on a box on the side of the aron. So you see it's together with the aron. So Gemara says, Umi Gonzo, who put it into Geniza? It says, Yoshiyahu Gonzo. This happens to be a machloket as to whether the aron was put into Geniza, over here said by Yoshiyahu put into Geniza, or whether it was taken captive by Bavel. The psukim seem to indicate that Bavel walks off with the nicer things in the Mikdash, including the Aron. So here, this is of the opinion that Yoshiyahu was the one to put in Geniza. Ma ra'a shegenzo. What did he see that he put into Geniza? Ra'a shekatuv. He saw that it was written, Yolech Hashem utcha v'et malkacha shetukim alecha. It says that Hashem is going to take you and your king and put you into Galut. So this is, in the time of Yoshiyahu Melch, they find suddenly a Sefer Torah. In that Sefer Torah, they open it up. They've never seen this before. And all of a sudden, they start reading Sefer Dvarim. And it says in Sefer Dvarim that the king is going into Galut with the people. Yoshiyahu Melch says, whoa, what's going on here? I'm not going into Galut. And they start this huge tshuva movement. He eliminates all the Avodah Zarah. They do a big Korban HaPesach. He leads a massive tshuva movement. And is very successful at bringing the people back to Hashem, Yoshiyahu Melech. But he does it because of this pasuk. Hashem, in the end, says, listen, it won't happen in your time, it's going to happen in the time of your children, because, Yan, that you did tshuva. Because you turned around to me, so therefore it's not going to happen in your time, but will happen after you. So he says, I know that they're going to Galut, therefore, Amad, Viganzo, he put it into Geniza, Shinamar. He says, Vayomer Levim, Hamivinim lechol Yisrael hakadoshim laHashem. Levim who teach Bnei Yisrael who are kadosh Hashem. Tnu et Aron Hakodesh b'bayit asher bana Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael. Says, go and put the Aron into the house that Shlomo built. En lechem maseh b'katef. You no longer have to carry it with your shoulders. I mean, that's the way they carry the Aron. You're not in that service anymore. Ata ivdu et Hashem lekeichem et amo Yisrael. Now go and worship Hashem and Amo Yisrael. The question is, what do you mean put it into the Mikdash? Wasn't the Aron already in the Mikdash? Why is he putting it into Mikdash if it's already there? The answer is, he put it away in the Mikdash. Go put it away because there's no longer going to be an Aron. So he puts the Aron into Gniza in the Mikdash. This is the source for the Torah of Rav Soloveitchik and others in the Brisker world, that the Kedushat HaMikdash is determined by the Aron. The Aron is what grants the presence of the Shekhinah, the Aron is what grants the Mikdash Kedushah. And the only way that the Bayit or Har HaBayit has Kedushah today is if the Aron is present. And so the Gniza of the Aron here is what maintains the Kedushah of Har HaBayit. Because the Aron is still present there, that is why there is Kedushat HaBayit today. Without the Aron, there would be no Kedushat HaBayit. So why is it that the Kedusha of the Har HaBayit was Kidsha, the Shaita of a Kidsha L'Atid Lavo, that according to the Rambam, at least, that Kedusha lasted forever? Because that Kedusha came from the Shekhinah, from the presence of the Aron, and the Aron never left. The Aron is still there, it's still Nignaz there, and that's why Har HaBayit still has, or maintains its level of Kedusha, because the Aron is present, the Shekhinah is still present there. Now, Vama Rabbi Elazar. Now, Rabbi Elazar explains, how do you know that all these other items went into Gniza along with the Aron? Because Atya Shama Shama, Va'atya Dorot Dorot, Va'atya Mishmeret Mishmeret. So these are all Gzirot Shabot, based on the fact that it says by the Aron, Asher Iva'ed Lecha Shama. Hashem says, I'll appear to you over the Aron, the Kruvim. And it says by the Tzinsenet Aman, by the man that Aron puts away, B'ten Shama Meloha Omer. So Shama Shama tells you that the Tzinsenet Aman was together with the Aron. The man itself says, "Tzinsenet leMishmeret leDorotechem." Put it away as a mishmeret, as memory, something that you can see for your generations. By the Tzolchit leShem Mishcha, it says, "Kadosh Yezeh leChem leDorotechem." So it says, "By the Shem Mishcha Kodesh, that will be forever leDorotechem." So Dorotechem, Dorotechem, from the man, we learn that the Shem Mishcha is together with the Tzinsenet Aman. And Maklosh al Aron, it says, put it in front of their own, the Mishmeret, the Ot B'nei Meri. That it should be a sign for those that are rebellious. The Mishmeret. So Mishmeret from the Maklosh al Aron to the Mishmeret of the Tzolchit of the Man. So that also teaches you. So first of all, we know the Man's there because of Shama Shama from the Aron. And then once we know that the Man's there, we learn both the Shemne Mishcha and the Maklosh al Aron from the Man, that they were all present together. Since they're all together with the Aron, when the Aron was put into Gniza, they went along with the Aron into the Gniza. Sefer Torah is inside of the Aron. The machloket there, whether the Sefer Torah is in the Aron or there's a casement on the side where the Sefer Torah is placed. But either way, the Sefer Torah is together with the Aron, meaning that's either inside the Aron or next to the Aron. And so because of that, you have less of a question about whether it went into Geniza. Same thing with the gift from the Plishtim. That has an attachment on the side that keeps it there. The Tzitzen and Aman, the Shem Nishka, Maklosh Aron are independent items. So how do we know they went with the Aron? That's, we have the Gzero Shavot to teach you that. The items that were inside the Aron, we assume that they went with the Aron. So Gemara says, Lola b'mikdasheni. You're right, the Mishnah is a mikdasheni. Omai yigia the Aron. So there's no Aron. What do you mean you got to the Aron? Makom Aron. You got to the place where the Aron would have been or should have been. Vaktani natani tamachta leben shnei abadim. He put it down between the two poles. How does he do that? Ema keven shnei abadim. He put it where the two poles would have been. Now this is important, meaning that in Bayit Rishon, the Kohen Gadol enters straight in. Because you have a wall there, and there's an opening in the middle. So he enters between the two badim. He enters between the badim, and he puts it down between the two badim. He doesn't have to traverse the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because he's entering through the center. And Bayit Sheni, because of the two parochot, he has to go from one side to the other side, and then back again to the middle. So there you'd have a problem if the badim were there. How would he get to the middle? Because the badim are sticking out. But there is no Aron. So when there is no Aron in Bayit Sheni, he can walk across, back and forth, without any, there's nothing inhibiting him. There's no problem with the badim. In Bayit Rishon, where there were the badim, and we know that the badim reached all the way to the parochot, they were longer than was necessary there, and they used to stick out from the inside but not be seen on the outside through the parochet, then he couldn't go back and forth through the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but there he's entering from the center, so it's not an issue. So that's the balance here between the two, is that in the Mikdash Rishon, they're going through the middle when the Aron's there, and the Badim are not a problem, because you can put it down right there. By Jini, where there's no Aron, he's entering from the side, and he just traverses the Kodesh HaKodeshim to get to the middle, and he puts it down What we say by the Eben Ashtiyah, that's what was the guideline for where the Aron was, and that's where he used to put it down, where the Ben Abadim would have been. Basically centered in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's where he'd place it down. Tiberet HaKtoret HaGabei HaGachalim, he piles the Ktoret up on the coals. Tznan, Kimanda Amra Tzovra. Our Mishnah is like the Manda Amra that says he piled it up. If you remember earlier, we had a machloket as to whether he piled it up, or he sprinkled it, separated it, did a thin sprinkling on top. Tani Chado, we have one brighter that says Tzovra Pnima. He puts it on the inside, Shehi Chutzala, which is the further away from him. Pnima means closer to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Starts closer to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which is away from him. But Tani Yidach, another brighter, Tzovra Chutza. He puts on the outside. Outside means towards the Kodesh. Shehi Pnima Lo, which is closer to him. So in the pan, where did he pile up the Torah? Did he pile it up far away from him, Pnima? Or he pile it up, chutzah, meaning close to him. So that's machloket tanaim. Amar Abaye tanayehi. It is a machloket tanaim. Amar Abaye mistaver kamandamar pnima shi chutzah lo. Makes more sense according to one who says that he piled it up further away from himself. He piled it up toward the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which is away from him. Tetnan. Because we teach him, alam dimoto. The Mishnah says that we teach him, he's a hair, shlo tatchil mipanecha. Don't start putting the Torah closer to you. Shema tichaveh. Because you're gonna get burnt. If you put it closer to you and then you keep stretching your hand across to put the ktoret out, the original ktoret is going to start to burn, and that's going to singe your arm or your beged that is there. Start further away and move back towards yourself so that the smoke that's coming up is away from you and you don't have to cross over that with your arm. So he said it makes more sense going to the break that he piled it up towards the back. But that might have been the reason that he piled it up. I mean, the reason he piles it up, it takes more time for it to burn. So if he piles it up, then he has more time to remove his arm before it starts to be a problem. Then if he sprinkles it out, then it starts to burn quickly. Then you would assume that he's doing it from the back to the front because it's burning right away, immediately. If it's burning immediately, he wants to get his arm out of there and he would start from the outer side moving towards himself. Okay, we'll stop over here.